Hi everyone, we're the Sherpa sisters from Malaysia. Azimah, Amna, and me, Aisha, hosts of the My English Matters podcast. After spending 8 years in the UK as children, we know the importance of mastering a second language. So we created MyEnglishMatters.com as a platform to help second language learners learn to speak, write, and communicate in English with confidence through our online courses, classes, and workshops. To join our free course called Speaking with Confidence and get the latest updates about our programs, subscribe to our email list at MyEnglishMatters.com. And now, without further ado, let's get started.
Hello there. Hi. Assalamualaikum. This is Amna here from My English Matters and welcome back to the My English Matters podcast. Today we're tackling a topic that many find challenging, but is actually very important for growth, how to give negative feedback. So stick around because we've got 10 effective strategies to make this process constructive and beneficial for everyone involved. But before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss our episodes. So giving negative feedback can be hard because, number one, you believe that it is unhelpful. Number two, you worry that the receiver will not like you. Or number three, you think the receiver will not be able to handle your feedback. However, giving negative feedback may be necessary to, number one, identify areas of improvement. So negative feedback helps individuals understand their weaknesses and areas for improvement. Without constructive criticism, it can be challenging for people to recognize and address their shortcomings. Promote accountability. So when you share constructive criticism, it helps people take responsibility for their actions and how they perform. It reminds us all about the significance of meeting expectations and standards, and it fosters a strong sense of responsibility. It also improves team dynamics. So in a team environment, when you give negative feedback, it helps maintain a high standard of performance. So when team members, when they are aware of areas that need improvement, they can all work together towards a common goal. And it can also prevent issues from escalating. So when you deal with concerns through timely feedback, timely means that it's on time, it's not too late or it's not too early. What it means that if there's an issue, you address it straight away. That's what timely means. It's like catching little hiccups before they become big headaches, right? So it gives us the chance to make things right before things get worse. All right, so I've shared a few reasons why giving negative feedback may be necessary. If you have any more reasons that you think giving negative feedback is good for, you can also share with us in the chat. But let's go into the 10 strategies to share negative feedback. So strategy number one is choosing the right time and place. So choosing the right time and place is really important. You have to select an appropriate setting where the individual can focus on the feedback without feeling embarrassed or defensive. So basically, find a quiet and private place where the person that you want to share the feedback to feels comfortable and won't be embarrassed. Right. Timing matters. So pick a moment also when both of you can focus without distractions, right? So here's a sentence that you could use to invite someone to have a meeting with them. So you could say, hey, Aisha, when you have a moment, could we find a quiet spot to chat? I wanted to discuss something with you, or I want to discuss something with you that's important, okay? Number two, use I statements. So I've mentioned about I statements before in a previous episode. So basically, using I statements will help you express your perspective without making it sound like an absolute truth. So for example, you could say, I believe or I think, rather than saying you're wrong or you should. So here's an example of a sentence that you could use. I noticed that in our recent team meeting, there were some interruptions. I feel is affecting our communication flow. So if you notice in that sentence, I say, I noticed that there were some interruptions. Instead of saying, I noticed that you were always interrupting me. I noticed that you were interrupting our team members. So it sounds more, it doesn't sound as aggressive as it would be if you say, you interrupted people or you interrupted others. So when you're using I statements, you're not pointing fingers. You're actually expressing your observations and feelings. Okay. Number three, be specific and objective. So clearly identify the behavior or issue that is a cause for concern. Provide concrete examples to make your feedback more actionable. So what that means is when you provide concrete examples of the behavior or the issue that you're addressing, this makes it more clear to the person and it helps them to understand what you're referring to. So this makes the feedback more actionable. Here's a sentence that you could use. During the project presentation, I observed that some key points were missed and it impacted the overall clarity of the message. So if you notice in that sentence, I was clear. I was talking about a specific project presentation and we're not talking about some random event. So it was being specific and concrete. Okay. So because when you are vague and you're not clear about a specific feedback that you want to give, the person that's receiving the feedback will just take it as criticism. It's not really constructive. But if they know where they did wrong or where they messed up, then it will help them to improve the next time they have to do that particular presentation or anything else that's related to the feedback. Number four, focus on behavior, not personality. Okay. Address specific actions or behaviors rather than making personal attacks. This helps the individual see the feedback as an opportunity for improvement rather than a personal attack. So this strategy is all about focusing on that person, on the specific behavior that you want to give feedback on. So make it clear that the feedback is about specific actions or behaviors. It's not a judgment on their character. This distinction is really important to maintain a constructive conversation. So what I mean by that is you want to talk about a behavior, not a personality. What that means is, say, for example, somebody is very outgoing or extroverted and this person sort of crossed the line in a particular conversation that they had with a client, for example. So instead of complaining about that person's extroverted personality, you can talk about how their action of being too extroverted affected the client, for example. So you could say, this is about a specific incident. I noticed that when we met the client today, you were too outgoing, you were too extroverted, and it may have come across as not very professional to our client. So I do appreciate that you maintain a level of professionalism with our clients, right? That's an example of how you can address that specific action or that specific behavior, but not their personality as a whole, okay? Right? Here's another example, which is related to, for example, somebody submits their report late. So you could say something like this. This is about a specific incident. I noticed a delay in submitting the report. It's not a reflection on your overall work. It's just about this particular task. Okay, so that is what I mean about focusing on behavior and not personality. It's kind of related to number three, which is about being specific and objective. All right, next up, strategy 5, balance negative with positive feedback. Acknowledge strengths and previous achievements to create a more balanced perspective and motivate the individual to improve. So what I mean by that is it's important that you acknowledge that person's strengths and positive contributions. So when there's a balance between a negative and a positive feedback, it helps that person see it as something that they can improve on, not criticizing them, but more about helping them see that they can improve. So you could say, for example, you could say, this is based on a scenario, right? So while there were challenges with the timeline, I want to highlight that your attention to detail and creativity were valuable contributions to the project, right? So this example sentence could come after you give a negative criticism of somebody's work, okay? There is another way that you could give negative feedback. It's called the sandwich framework. So you actually sandwich the negative feedback in between two positive statements. So you start off with a positive statement and then the negative feedback and then positive feedback. So the negative feedback is in between two positive pieces of feedback. However, there's a challenge that there is the struggle that it may sound like you are downplaying the negative feedback. So for me, I would prefer to have a balance of one negative and one positive rather than two positives and one negative, so that the person can actually see that you want to stress on the negative. Okay. So you have to be careful there. If you want to give two pieces of feedback that are positive, you have to make them know that you want them to also look at the negative so that they can improve next time, so that it's still constructive. Okay. All right. Number 6, be empathetic. So strategy 6 is about being empathetic. Receiving negative feedback can be difficult. Approach the conversation with empathy and show understanding of the individual's perspective. So put yourself in their shoes, right? Before you meet them, set some time for yourself, maybe like 10 minutes, to try to think about where they are coming from. Try to understand that receiving negative feedback can be tough, right? I know that when I receive negative feedback, it's tough. I've received a lot of negative feedback throughout my career. And every time it comes, it hurts, right? That's just normal. That's part of life. So try to understand that when you are going to give feedback to somebody, it's likely that it's going to be hard on them unless they're really thick-skinned. But approach the conversation with empathy and a genuine desire to help them grow. So when you have that mindset, it will help you to structure your sentences and construct sentences that are more understanding and more empathetic so that they can take it better. And they will, when they receive the feedback, they know that you've actually thought it through and that you care about them. So here's an example of a sentence that you can use in this specific scenario. So I understand that meeting tight deadlines can be stressful. I appreciate your dedication to the team and I want to work together to find solutions. Okay, number 7, encourage self-reflection. So ask open-ended questions that prompt the individual to reflect on their actions. This can help create a sense of ownership and responsibility for improvement. Self-reflection basically means someone is able to think about the things that they've done, what the positive aspects of it and the negative aspects of it, what worked, what didn't work. That is basically what self-reflection is. So you can ask open-ended questions. So open-ended questions are questions where you ask somebody and their answers are anything other than yes and no. Yes or no, right? So open-ended is means that it's open for explanation. Okay, so you could ask questions like, how do you think the communication breakdown happened? And what do you think could be done differently next time? So this creates a sense of ownership, right? It also empowers them to take ownership and also consider alternative approaches. So it's constructive, right? So you're both working together to think about how it could have been better and how you can approach it next time. Number 8, offer solutions and alternatives. So instead of just pointing out the problem, suggest practical solutions or alternatives. This makes the feedback more constructive. So don't just point out the problem. Be proactive in suggesting ways to improve. So this turns negative feedback into a collaborative effort towards positive change. So here's an example of a sentence. Let's brainstorm ways to streamline the process and improve efficiency. Maybe we can implement a checklist to ensure all key points are covered. Okay, so basically when you're giving negative feedback, it's good to offer solutions and alternatives so that there are no open loops. So everything has a conclusion to it, right? So if you're just giving negative feedback without offering any solutions or alternatives, it could be a burden to some people to feel that, oh no, what do I do? But when you offer the solution or you offer the alternative, it helps them relieve the burden and gives them sort of like an action plan of what they can do next or how they can do better so that they can prove themselves, you know, or redeem themselves. Number 9, set clear expectations. So clearly communicate your expectations moving forward. All right. So be specific about the changes you'd like to see and the timeline for improvement. All right. So this ensures that both parties, both you and the person that you're giving the feedback to, both of you are on the same page and provides a roadmap for improvement, a roadmap or a timeline or an action plan. So you could say, moving forward, let's aim to submit reports by the end of the workday on Fridays. This will help maintain a consistent workflow for the team. Okay. So these are setting clear expectations. And then number 10, follow up and provide support. Check in with the individual after some time to see how they are progressing. Offer support and guidance, reinforcing your commitment to their development. All right. So what you could do is check in with that person after some time, see how they're doing, offer ongoing support and guidance. And this shows that your feedback is not just a one-time event, but it's part of an ongoing process. So at the end of the session, where you give them the feedback, you could say, I'll check in with you next week to see how the adjustments are working for you. If you need any support in the meantime, feel free to reach out. So it's great to offer support. It will make them feel better about the situation if they felt bad about it. So, and it makes it sound like you are willing to collaborate with them so that they improve. All right, so there you have it. 10 effective strategies on how to give negative feedback in a way that promotes growth and improvement. So let's summarize. Number 1, choose the right time and place. Number 2, use I statements. Number 3, be specific and objective. Number 4, focus on behavior, not personality. Number 5, balance negative with positive feedback. Number 6, be empathetic. Number 7, encourage self-reflection. Number 8, offer solutions and alternatives. Number 9, set clear expectations. And number 10, follow up and provide support. So remember, it's not about criticism. It's about fostering a culture of continuous learning. So if you found these strategies helpful, give this video a thumbs up or give us a rating if you're listening on the podcast. and share your thoughts in the comments. Don't forget to subscribe for more valuable content. Until next time, keep those lines of communication open and constructive. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the My English Matters podcast. Please make sure to click the subscribe button if you haven't yet and leave a review of this podcast if you like it. If you'd like to learn even more with us, then join our Members Monthly program where we hold monthly classes and speaking practice. For more info and to register, visit myenglishmatters.com/members.